Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you so much, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in us and the fat that you're trimming off of us. I'm talking about the world and the flesh that's going away from us, Lord, because we keep our eyes locked on you, Lord, because we know that when we do that, things happen. Miracles happen. Your word happens all around us, Lord. And we just praise you, Father, for the things that you're doing in our life and around us. And we thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers of household salvation for all those we've been praying for. We thank you, Lord, in the near days ahead that they're coming in. Glory to God, we're believing. We're blessing you for it. We're thanking you for it. And we just glorify you, Lord, because we know that when we pray and we believe what we pray, that it's going to happen. And Father, we just thank you so much for leaving these promises out there for us so that we can walk this overcoming life that you have us on, this overcoming walk that you've got us on, this race that you've got us in, Lord. And we're going to endure to the end because we've got you pushing us and guiding us and leading us all the way. And Father, we just ask that tonight that you anoint each one of us to glorify you, Father, with the words that we speak and the encouragement that we have for each other. Lord, ain't not one of us has it all. We don't even have most of it. Don't even have a fraction of it, Lord. But we know with you, we got it all. And we just praise you for it, Father. And glory be to God, Lord. Let tonight be a blessed night, Lord. Let revival start right here and amongst this small bunch here, Lord. I ask that in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. I thank you, Lord, that the heavens are opened up to us, Lord. And I praise you for it. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests?
I do.
Okay, Angelica. Sure.
I would like to ask the Lord to just reveal to me if he wants to bless me with a husband, if that's his will for my life, and if so, to give me a dream or vision. In Jesus' name.
Amen, Lord. We hook our faith up with Angelica, and we know, Lord, that you're going to fulfill that for her, and it's going to be heaven on earth, and we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. You believe that, Angelica?
Yes, sir.
I do, too. I believe it, and I know it. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else?
Hello, Michael.
Yeah, Gano.
I would like to pray for Tracy.
Okay.
Her dad had surgery today. I have not heard how anything came out, but I just would like to just to pray for Tracy and her family in general. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Father, for being with them while he was in surgery. They replaced a valve in his heart. I just pray for just a quick recovery from surgery. Thank you for your presence with him and with the rest of the family. And just thank you, Father, for what you are working in them, that through this you're going to draw this family to you, that they will see you at work. I also pray for a place that will be able to accept her mother, that a place for her to stay. We know that you can open doors where it seems there may be none. And I also pray that you be with Tracy while she's down there and also at her work. And to give her strength, that any spirit of confusion would go in Jesus' name. That you would just help her to accomplish the tasks that are set before her, that she won't be intimidated by having to do many things on the computer, that you will help her to know what to do and how to get to the screens that she needs to get to in time, and that she won't be frustrated with it because she knows that you are there with her. And I also pray that while she's away and spending time with her parents, that you would watch over her home, that you would guard and protect it, that she doesn't have to worry about someone taking things. We just thank you, Father, that you are able. You can be there when she cannot be. We just thank you, Father, for strength for her this weekend, and that she will come back and she will be rested, that she can do her next tour of duty next week at work, and that she won't be all wore out. We just thank you, Father, for what you're going to do for Tracy, for each member of her family. We just thank you, Father, for drawing them to you. And we are just speaking household salvation for her family. We thank you and praise you, Father, for what you are working in them. Amen. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Praise you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. We Amen. Do, Lord. We thank you so much. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
I think sometimes Tracy feels really overwhelmed, and we just want her to not feel that way, because the Lord is totally in control, and there's so many things that, you know, on our little limited level, we're not able to do it, but he can work it, and we just thank him for what he's going to work and what he's going to show her in this trial that she's in right now. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord. We just thank you, Father, that you're going to put her in the rest.
Right.
Thank you, Father.
She needs some rest. She needs lots of rest.
Yeah. Yeah. Praise God.
Okay, that was all. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
I have a prayer request, Michael.
Okay, go ahead, Tim.
Well, right now I've been experiencing some, you know, spiritual oppression, and you know, just feeling like I'm not doing things right and stuff like that. And I know if I'm reading my Bible, if I'm praying to the Lord, that he hears me, and I'm living according to his word. It's my life. It's everything. I have nothing if I don't have him. And right now, I just don't know what to do about but my job that I'm at. And I get confused if he wants me to stay, if he wants me to go, if that's not his will. And I'm just seeking some clarity from the Lord and asking him to reveal, you know, his will for my life, and if I'm supposed to stay at the job or if that's not his will for me. I also just want to ask for prayer, to uplift me and just make sure that if I'm doing things according to his word and to his will, that he is always going to be with me. He says in his word that he'll never leave or forsake me, and I believe that. So I just pray that the Lord guides me, that he anoints me with the Holy Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit, Father. I want to walk in the Spirit. I don't want to do anything if it's not the way he wants me to go. I want him to be the head of my life. So I just pray that he does that for me. Yes. Jesus' name.
Okay. Can I ask you a few questions?
Oh, sure, Michael.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Do you know if there's any unforgiveness in your background?
I don't believe there will be any unforgiveness. I believe that everybody that I guess I would have any feelings towards or anything like that, that it's been taken care of. I felt some type of unforgiveness towards my mom because how she was persecuting me, telling me that, oh, you're doing all this because of God and look at your life and blah, blah, blah. And then I just had to look at her and I said, Mom, I forgive you because I know it's not you. It's the demons that, you know, that live inside of you. So I forgive you. And also, I've forgiven my father for leaving me. And not being there for my life. I always tell him about the father, and although I can tell his life hasn't changed, I can still have a conversation with him, and he can at least always just tell me, well, I'll try, and I pray for him continuously. So, no, I don't have any unforgiveness. I don't wish anything bad upon anyone, or I have any signs of bitterness. No way. I don't have any of that.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. Then let's go ahead and pray then. Now, when we pray, we do it according to scriptures. In Mark 11:24, it tells us that when we pray and we believe what we pray, we shall have it. So what we do once we pray, we go into God's rest. And by that, I mean, we just keep from this point on, we start thanking God for turning things around for you. We thank God that he's going to speak to you clearly about the thing that you've asked him for. And we're going to keep thanking him for everything that you prayed for, because when you pray by faith, faith is calling those things that are not as though they were. So from this point on, you're going to call yourself blessed, because you are, because you're a child of God and you're in his hands. You know, everything that happens around us has already been orchestrated by God himself. He is sovereign. He's on the throne. He ain't going nowhere and he ain't giving it up. So all these things around you that are happening is for one thing, to work out patience in you and to work out, get the flesh off of you and get you out of the world, because we're coming to a time where it's going to be that you're going to need God in a mighty way, and you're going to know how to access him. And the way to access him is through faith and prayer. And you've been doing that, and that's good. So let's just, from this point on, we're going to rest in the knowledge that God's in control and he's going to answer our prayers. Amen. Well, Father,
amen.
We just lift up Tiamba to you, Lord, and we thank you for her heart for you, Lord. She has a heart for you, Lord, and she wants nothing but you, Father. And I ask and I pray right now, Lord, that you put a hunger in her for the word of God like she's never seen before. Not only that, Lord, I ask that the revelations coming out of the word would just open her up and get her excited about you, Lord. And I thank you for it, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that every time something bad happens, she rejoices, because that's what you told us to do. That don't make any difference what people say. Don't make a bit of difference in the world what the world thinks. Doesn't make any difference what Mama says, Daddy says, brother, sister says, or anybody else, as far as that goes, because God, it matters what you say. And you say that you have me in your hands, and ain't nothing bad going to happen to me, because I believe. And I know my prayers are going to be answered, because I trust you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for giving Tiamba this knowing, Lord, by the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Father, that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit, and the love would permeate throughout her to the people around her, that they would see nothing but light. She'd be a walking lighthouse to the people around her, because she's got a smile on her face and a skip in her walk, because she knows who her real Father is. And that's you, Lord. And I thank you. I praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in Tiamba right now, Lord. You're infusing her with that faith that only you can give us, Lord. Everything comes from you, Father. Everything comes from you. That's what your word says. And we thank you for it. You said to praise you on the hilltop and praise you in the valleys, Lord. And that's what we're going to do. And that's our job. Our job is to have faith and to seek you with all our hearts, Lord. Run after you, just like the Shulamite bride. And I thank you, Father, for the light that you've got in that darkness all around her, that they're going to see it and they're going to want a part of it. And I praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in Tiambe right now. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. And everybody else in here believes with us, and they said, amen.
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 Amen. Can I add to the prayer?
Yes, go ahead, Angelica.
All right. Sister Tiambe, I just thank you, Father God, for Sister Tiambe. Father God, I thank you for her life. I lift her up to your throne of grace, Lord. And I just ask that you just cover her, Father God, right now with your grace, your mercy, your love, Father God, that you would just pour out to her, Father God, to her spirit, Father God, in Jesus' name. And I just bind all spirits of condemnation and shame, Father God. We know there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, Father God. So I break the power of that off of her life, Father God, in Jesus' name. And I just bind and rebuke all spirits of confusion, illusion, delusion, all lines of spirits, Father God, sent forth to torment her, Father God, in Jesus' name. And I just speak a sound mind, Father God, and peace over her life, Father God. And I just ask you right now, Father God, to give her the joy of the Lord, which is her strength, Father God, in Jesus' name, Father God, and lift up her countenance, Father God. And I just ask for your plans and purpose for her concerning her job, Lord, to be revealed to her, Father God, in Jesus' name. And there would be just confirmed by the mouth of two or three witnesses, Father God. And I just break the power of the yoke of bondage, Father God, that she's feeling, Father God, that oppression, that depression, that loneliness. I bind it in Jesus' name, and I command it to loose her now and go in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I rebuke it now in Jesus' name, and I loose the seven spirits of God upon her, Father God. I loose the anointing of God, and I ask the Holy Spirit to go in and comfort her, Father God, to minister to all her needs, Father God, and all that she's feeling, Father God, in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father God, that her eye would be single, Father God, that you would just calm the seas, Father God, calm any storms raging in her life, Father God, and reveal to her if there be any sin, any judgment that had been passed, Father God, by herself, Father God, that she might be in right standing with you, Father God. We know that you're just good, Father God, and you will reveal to her all these things, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that you would give her peace that surpasses all understanding, Father God, and just allow her to have peace every day, Father God, and that we walk, Father God, just one day at a time with you, Lord, and just give her peace, Father God, that she not look into just have fear in her heart about the things that are coming, Father God, that she has peace knowing that you are her God and that you are sovereign over her life. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I believe that. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You believe that, Tiambe?
Oh, yes. I believe. I can feel it right now. I believe. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Woohoo. Anybody else want to pray? All right. That's a done deal then. I believe it. Look for it. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else need prayer that would like to pray about something? What about praise reports or testimonies? Anybody got any of those?
Yeah, Michael.
Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, I just want to give thanks to God for him showing me that he really can do what he says. You know where it says in the scriptures not to worry about what you clothing, food, or shelter, and, you know, to look to God and his kingdom. I didn't believe it at first, but I said, Lord, if I don't look for clothing, can you still get it to me? You know, if I don't make an effort to get it, how can I get it? And I'm not 100% sure on this, if that's exactly what the Bible meant, but I tried it, and I said, well, God, I need clothing, but I'm not going to press it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to let you do what you do. And my friend, I went to the main building the other day, and my friend came by, my blind friend, and he said, wait, I got a pair of pants. It's too small for me. but maybe it'll fit you. It was perfect size for me. I'm wearing them now, and I had no connection with it. They just came to me. And I think I can do that with everything, you know. If we don't worry about it, just put it in God's hands, He can deliver us anything we need.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your faith that you have put in the weight. He's getting it, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Ooh, my. That's joy, Wade.
Amen. It makes me happy to know that He's taking care of everything else, too, the same way. We don't have to be worried.
That's exactly right. We pray and we forget about it. We just keep thanking God for it, don't we?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. All right, anybody else with a testimony, praise report, or prayer?
Michael?
Go ahead. Jackie?
I just wanted to praise God for my brother. He's going through a really, really trying time right now, and he just now texts me. Reached out and asked a lot of people to lift him up in prayer, and with his trial that he's going through with his wife. My brother's saved, and his wife is not, and something really devastating happened, and he has been given the grace of God to forgive her instantly, and he just texted now and said, Jesus, please help our marriage, and thank you for the strength, and please remove the devil from my wife in Jesus' name. And I just ask if people would just agree with that. And he saw with her today a marriage counselor, and he just texted me. And it's amazing God's grace, because my brother is really struggling with this. And he said he thanked her for going for counseling, and he's fighting 110%. It was a Christian counselor. And he said the minister was real nice and encouraged them and asked them both in the beginning, you know, each separately, what do you think God wants to do with your marriage? And they both said that God doesn't want it to be destroyed, that He would want it reconciled. And I told my brother, we're praying the will of God, and, you know, that God does not want, you know, faction or division or separation or divorce, and that Jesus spoke only of Moses granting the decree for hardness of hearts. And I said, so we already know what God's will is. And he just said after the session, you know, he's been treating her so kind and just loving on her so much, and it's sort of, in a sense, freaking her out, because she cannot grasp the understanding that he's instantly forgiven her for what she's done, and praying for a repentant heart for God to bring her to the cross of repentance and forgive her for the sins that she's doing, and just take her away from it. But my brother texted the praise report. He said he was sitting on a patio and talked to her, and she had a glass of wine, and they had a very nice time, and they ate dinner together with her family, and they gave rules together for their sons, and they stuck firm as parents, and he told her how much he loves her, and he apologized for any actions he's doing, and he said he noticed a difference. He said she didn't smile, but he noticed something was different. And the other night when I had requested prayer, I think it was on Monday night, for the local UBM, lifted my family up in prayer, and my brother at that time was not coping or handling anything at all, and it's been so excruciating on him, and so much anguish on me to see him suffer so. And I asked him if I could finally, I was holding all this in, because he had asked me to promise not to tell anybody, and for weeks I was holding all this in until I couldn't take it anymore, and I had asked him if I had his permission to just share with my brothers and sisters in Christ so they could pray with me, because I couldn't handle it anymore. And He gave the permission, and we prayed. Michael and I prayed, and then they prayed at the Monday night prayer meeting. And he said in an hour he noticed there was a difference. She agreed to go to counseling, and he felt something break. So if everybody will just agree in prayer, Father, I just ask that you just continue to soften my sister-in-law's heart. I ask that you continue to make it a heart of flesh and not of stone. I ask, Father God, that you just keep a hedge of protection around her, and that you open her ears to be able to hear your word. And with this, you know, minister, counselor is trying to speak healing in the word into her, Lord, and let her know that you are a God of miracles and that nothing is too far gone for you. And just keep them protected and in peace, and shut up the lying devil in her ear, Lord, that she doesn't receive any of these lies. I just bind up spirits of confusion and disorientation and hate and rejection and self-hatred, and I forbid them from working in her, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I just praise you so much that you have given my brother such a heart to fight for her. He's speaking the word to her. He's got boldness. He knows it's a demonic attack, and he said he's not letting the devil steal this from him. And he's really battling, I mean, really battling. And I just thank you, Father God, that you're just keeping him in a place where he can cry out to you, and that it's drawing him so much closer in your word, and that you're going to use this and turn it all around so that his children see, yes, you know, we have made a commitment to our God, and we have a covenant with him, and we don't take this lightly, and yes, we're having problems, but God can change that, and God can heal, and yes, we both made mistakes, and we apologize, but the love, you know, is deep down in there. And Father, I just ask that you reach down and pull that love back up in Lori's heart so she knows. And just give my brother peace and keep him from being angered, Lord. Keep his mind focused on the things above. Keep him taking it one moment at a time with Christ. And not focus anything past the moment, because the anxiety just comes too overwhelming. And Father, I just praise you and I thank you. And I thank you that he's interested in coming to the ministry. I thank you that that he's asking my family not to hate his wife for what she's done for him. He has so much kindness and compassion, Lord. It's just a beautiful gift you've given him. And he's trying so hard, Lord. I just ask that you just put him into a rest, and let it be Christ in you, that he just shows forth your strength and wins her over by her actions. And Lord, I ask that she does receive the word, because she did come against the word some with the minister and today in the counseling session. I ask that you show her that you are in control and that you are sovereign, and that you can't just live your life and pick yourself up by your bootstraps and none of that matters, Lord, and just draw her unto you. Give her some truth, and just give my brother wisdom and when to speak and when not to speak, so she's not overwhelmed. And just protect them, Father God, and thank you for sparing my brother. Thank you so much, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe with you, Jackie. I believe you're seeing a miracle unfold right here before your eyes.
Amen, brother. I am. Each time it's just, it's really speaking encouragement and the word in him as much as I can. And God's been giving me wisdom. Praise God for that.
Amen.
I do have a question, though, about faith. I understand that God's sovereign and that God's in control and God has ordained this, and that nothing, you know, a man can receive nothing unless it comes from heaven, as John said. But what I'm not understanding is, I know, you know, I need to be in the rest, and I know I need to lay this on the altar, which I have yesterday, as you know. I just don't understand. Am I am I not dead enough to flesh that I'm just feeling so much pain and anguish for him? He's going through so much, and he and I are like twins, and it just suffers. It brings up the verses to my mind about, you know, weep for them that are weeping. So is it lack of faith or double-mindedness or doubt or unbelief, or if I'm feeling so much pain and anguish for what he's going through, just having empathy for him to the point where it was getting unbearable yesterday. I was really concerned, and I bound up spirits of, that were coming against him that the Father just revealed to me. I think that he revealed to me. So I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
What is
so dead to flesh that you just don't care about what people go through?
No, it's not that you don't care. It's that you trust the Lord implicitly. You know that God's going to work in his life. And that's the knowing that God's on the throne. It's knowing. Now, the compassion that you have for him is understandable. You know, he's your brother. But we're all learning as we walk, right? We're all learning as we walk this walk that God's got us on. And at some point in time, that anguish will go as we keep trusting in him and we see that God's going to back up his word. The anguish, the anxiety, all of that stuff will go. The compassion you want that compassion in your heart because Jesus had that compassion, you know. But the anguish and the anxiety is part of that faith walk that he's got us on. It's part of trusting God to do what he says that he will do in his word. And that's all it is. And we're all learning that. We're all on that walk together. And some are a little bit further along than others, but we're all striving and we're all running toward that goal of surrendering totally to Jesus. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read a little something here that should help you a little bit.
Amen.
It's out of The Believer's Secret of the Master's Indwelling by Andrew Murray. And he's talking about surrendering all to the Lord. And he said, beloved Christians, I want you to ask yourself, have I done that? And he's talking about surrendering everything to the Lord. You have offered more than one consecration prayer. And you have more than once said, Jesus, all I have, I give to thee. You have said it and meant it. But you probably did not realize fully its implications. With the word surrender, there seems always to be a larger and more comprehensive meaning. When surrendering, we do not always succeed in carrying out our intentions. So afterward, we take back one thing and then another until we have lost sight of our original intention. Beloved Christians, let Christ Jesus have all. Let him have your whole heart with its affections. He himself loves with more than the love of Jonathan. Let him have your whole heart, saying, Jesus, every fiber of my being, every power of my soul be devoted to you. And he will accept that surrender. He spoke a solemn word. You must hate father and mother. And say today, Lord Jesus, my love for father and mother, for wife and child, for brother and sister, I give up to thee. Teach thou me how to love thee. I have only one desire, which is to love thee. I want to give my whole heart to be full of thy love. But when you have given your heart, there is yet more to give. There is the head, the brain with its thoughts. I believe Christians do not know how much they rob Christ of in reading so much of the literature of the world. And that's true. They are often so occupied with their newspapers, and he didn't say it, but I'm going to say it, the TVs, the video games, the telephone, the computer, that the Bible gets a very small place. That bingos me. Oh, friends, I beseech you, bring this noble power which God has given you, the power of a mind that can think heavenly, eternal, and infinite things, and lay it at the feet of Jesus, saying, Lord Jesus, every faculty of my being I want to surrender to thee, that thou shouldest teach me what to think and how to think for you and your kingdom. Bless God, there are men who have given their intellect to Jesus, and it's been accepted by him. And in this connection, there is my whole outer life. There is my relation to society, my position among men, my association in my own home with friends and family. There is my money, my time, my business. All these should be put in the hands of Jesus. One cannot know beforehand the blessedness of this surrender, but blessed it surely is. Isn't that awesome? And that's what God wants us to do, give our whole being up to him and trust him. That's what he wants you to do. And that's what trust is trust him in every circumstance that comes up in our life. We trust God. Okay, God, I see what you're doing here. I'm just going to rest because I know you're in control. I have prayed the prayer of faith for my brother. Bless God. And I know that his family is going to be saved because I have prayed the prayer of faith along with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that his family is going to be brought into the kingdom and they're going to be blessed because of it. And Father, I thank you for it. And that's the way God wants us to walk. Now, I know that it's that these things happen. You know, I hadn't arrived yet, and it's just, but I'm learning. We're all learning to give it up, you know. We got things going on in our families that it seems like that it's just going to hell in a handbasket. But what do? What's our job? Our job is to believe that when we pray, that we're going to get our prayers answered because the word says it. And we believe it, and we trust the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill what we pray. Our job is just to keep on that straight and that narrow, to renew our minds with the word of God, and to believe and to pray and to seek God with all.
Yes, we did. Bible?
Hello?
Are you back?
Can anybody hear me?
Yep.
Huh?
Yep.
Okay, did I?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I heard Malcolm hollering something. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, you went dead for a while.
I did?
Yeah, so you're back. You're fine.
Oh, my goodness. What's going on? Okay. Well, in the name of Jesus. where did I leave off?
Right about the time I yelled.
Okay, so you got most of it. Okay, well, that's good. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to give us everything that we have. And I know that all of us are at different levels in this walk that he's got us on, but our striving should be to the point to where we just trust him implicitly with everything in our life, everything, and forget about what you see, what you natural eyes, because your natural eyes are deceiving. Everything that's in the Bible is forever and ever and ever. Amen. Right? But everything you see with your eyes ain't going to always be there.
Amen. That was good. I would like to give that an email if you send it out to everybody or...
Oh, gosh, I just shut the book.
Oh, that's That's okay.
It's in, well, it's just a matter of giving it all to the Lord. That's essentially what Andrew Murray was talking about there. The name of the book is The Believer's Secret of the Master's Indwelling. Listen, these old books are to me, they're valuable in that, like Andrew Murray, he has a way of saying what David says, but he does it a different way. He does it a different way. And the same way with E.M. Bounds about prayer. It's just awesome to listen to these other men. For me, it is anyway. I don't, may not be for y'all, but it's just the way they put it in words, I understand more, you know. It just kind of seals it for me. So that's what God wants from us. He wants us to trust him implicitly. And when you do, then the things around you won't bother you as much because you know God's in control. That's essentially what we're getting at. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're striving for every day. Amen.
Amen. And I mean, that's confirmation because when I told you the Father asked, you know, put it on my heart to pray the prayer that I did about placing my brother on the altar, you know, like Abraham did, and just to let go, you know, and then I received a confirmation of those same verses and an email from another brother last evening. So, and now you just basically said the same thing. So that's like three witnesses. So, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. That's comforting. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.
Amen. All right. Anybody else got any testimony or praise report or would like to pray about something? I still don't understand. Listen, let's pray just a little bit here. Lord, I just thank you that we can rely on you now. In the name of Jesus, I command this headset to work like it's supposed to, not to shut down at any time. I command the communications in everybody's, whatever they're using, Lord, not to mess up in Jesus' name. We command that spirit's out of here, not to end anything that we're saying, that everything has to be communicated, and I thank you, Father, for that. Bind you up, Satan. You can't come in here and mess up in Jesus' name. How many of you know that walking as a child is walking by faith? You know, when you know you're healed and you're confessing you're healed, but then you still see the symptoms. In other words, let's say you got a rash and you know you're healed, but that rash stays on for days and weeks and months. Well, let's examine this. First of all, we need to have you confessed your sins. Is there anything blocking it? If there's something in the way, you're going to know about it, right? You don't have to do a lot of looking inside because most of us know if we're right where we need to be with God. And if there's something in your life, you're going to know it. It's something that's going to be right there in front of you. Get that out of the way first. And once you get that out of the way, our job is to go ahead and believe in what we do, not what we see. Because that's what faith is. God's job is to manifest it, and he will. He's not going to fail. If we believe and we walk the walk of faith, he's going to manifest it. Now, I ain't going to say he's going to do it right away, because there would be no such thing as a trial of your faith if he did it right away. We don't take care of God's job. Our job is faith, right? We give him our part of the covenant. And the other part was manifested. That's the healing at the cross. And it's going to be manifested in you. It already has been. If you'll exercise the faith and let him take care of it, he will. He's never going to fail. Although you might have to walk out that faith for a while. You know, he's teaching us patience when we do that. Some people think because it's not manifested right away that God didn't hear, but that ain't true. That's totally false. There's been a lot of things I've had to walk out for a long time before I saw an answer. Still walking some stuff out, but I believe. But that's why we study the scriptures. We need to be convinced that Jesus is the same today out of Hebrews 13 and 8. We have to be consistent in saying, yes, I am healed in Jesus' name. James 1 and 2 says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold trials or temptation, in the manifold trials, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. So you see that if your faith has to be proven on the manifest right away, and if it takes patience, it's something that's not going to manifest right away. I've received myself some things right away, healings right away, immediately. And other things, the more I walked it out, the more my faith grew. And I know some of you have done the same thing. It happened to Abraham, didn't it? Hebrews 11 talks about the faith of Abraham. Remember what happened to him? He didn't start out that way believing for his son, did he? He even laughed about it. Not only him, but Sarah laughed too. And then they had their Ishmael, didn't they? Abraham had his Ishmael because he was walking in faith, but he didn't stay there. The Bible says that he waxed strong through faith in Romans 4 and 20, which means he became strong through faith. He didn't start there. There are some things that the Lord worked patience in me when I was believing God for things, but I've never seen God fail. I've never seen him fail. That devil will try to get us to walk by what we see and hear and feel every time. He'll try to do that. We just have to believe what the word says. A big problem in receiving healing is that God's people don't walk by faith. Now, there are gifts of faith, and I've had that in operation before. But what I'm talking about here is not the gift of faith. If you know what the gift of faith is, the gift of faith is a gift from the Holy Spirit for a certain instance that happens. And you know when you pray for somebody that it's going to be answered. You just know. That anointing comes on you, and you know. It's when your whole consciousness is convinced, when you are convinced and you're not wrestling with your flesh. And that's a gift that overwhelms your flesh. But waiting for a gift of faith don't always work for you. Where walking by faith will always work. And 90% of the people who look for healing through a gift of faith wind up the same way they started. But we know that the Lord is no respecter of persons, don't we? If we exercise faith, God's going to meet us by meeting that need that we have. And the problem with expecting healing through the gift is that you can't count on it because you never know when the gift's going to be manifested and when it's not. But I'm telling you, faith itself always works if you exercise it. I've prayed over many people before and seen instantaneous miracles. And then they'd walk away. And that devil would convince them that what they saw and what they felt, and they just fell right back into their illness. Why? It's because God expects us to walk by faith and rebuke that devil when he tries to come back on you. You ever seen a baby Christian go into a church and people pray over him and see an instantaneous miracle? When people who've been in the Lord for 40 or 50 years at the same church go down to the altar and go down to the altar and go down to the altar to get prayed for the same thing. There comes a time when God expects us to exercise our faith. For a baby in a crib, everything is spoon-fed, isn't it? You're not expecting anything from me. You just give it to him. Baby Christians get that. But once you've been in the Lord for a while, if you don't abide in the things that are written and you don't ever exercise your faith, you're going to stay a baby. You'll just be a baby with a beard, right? Praise God. God expects us to use our faith. And if we don't use it, we're going to get in trouble. Wilderness, where salvation is going to come from heaven, or you're going to die in the wilderness. That's what's coming up ahead of us, folks. There's a lot of people right now who are dead in their wilderness because they went out into the wilderness and they wouldn't trust in the salvation that comes from the Lord. I've seen that happen time and time and time again, and it's heartbreaking. They kept wanting to run back to Egypt. Listen, you can't always trust Egypt's salvation, folks. It ain't always there. There's two examples that I could give you. And there's always a curse in trusting in the arm of the flesh. Right? There's always a curse of trusting in the arm of the flesh. I remember my dad, he had cancer. He had a heart problem. He had a heart attack when he was 49 years old. And then he had two or three more. And we always thought that he was going to die of a heart attack, but he didn't die of a heart attack. You know what he died of? He died of cancer. The things that, well, I don't know how to explain it, but other than the fact that when you pray, you need to believe what you pray. My father was not a Christian at the time, and we prayed. I prayed for him. I wasn't even a Christian, but I knew enough to try to ask God to help him out. As far as the heart attacks go, God did, but as far as the cancer goes, God took him, but from what I understand, my dad gave his heart to Jesus right before he died. So praise God for that. If you trust in the arm of the flesh, it's cursed. I don't know why I told you that, but there's something there. The Bible says you're cursed, and you needn't think that you're going to get out of it. Don't think that you can keep running back to Egypt, because God's going to push you back out there in the wilderness. It's going to come back around again in another form until we overcome, right? Until we get that water out of the rock in the wilderness. That ain't normally where it come from. Until you get that manna out of the sky in the wilderness. It didn't come out there in boxcars from Egypt, did it? But you know, there's a price to be paid if you get salvation from Egypt, a big price. David talks about a guy, a friend of his, that went to Fatima, I think it's down in South America somewhere, and was healed of cancer. And David, he didn't know. He said, I don't know where the line is. I don't know that God is weak to the weak or what. But if you believe, I don't care how you're convinced of it. If you believe that if I anoint you with oil that you'll be healed, then you're going to be healed. You know what Jesus said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Some people believe in just the laying on of hands. And some people believe that you got to have the oil. It don't make any difference, whatever it is. If it'll help your faith, do it. We're going to accept it. Praise God. Yeah. I remember one time a lady came up to me in church while during the time between when the pastor wants everybody to get up and shake hands with somebody else, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And her mother came over to me and said, would you pray for her hearing? She can't hear out of her left ear. Actually, it wasn't her mother. It was her guardian, I think. And I said, yeah, this is a 13-year-old girl. I said, yeah, I'll pray for her. She was deaf in that ear. And we prayed for her and God healed her instantly. She was just a child in Christ, you know. And she believed. I said, you're going to believe when I pray that God's going to heal you? She said, yeah, I believe that. I said, okay. So we prayed the prayer of faith, and I got behind her, and I whispered in her left ear, and I said, can you hear me? She said, yeah. She got all excited, and I stepped back about 2 or 3 feet from her, and I said, can you hear me now? She said, yes, I can hear you. And I went all the way, you know, back a ways, and she still could hear me. God healed her right there. Because she had that childlike faith. And that's what God wants us to have. Praise God. What I'm telling you works. It works because the Word of God says it works. Not because of what I've seen and not because of of what we've all seen. Baby Christians can go in there to one of the anybody's service and get healing, but when they start growing a bit, it's going to take two to agree. Like it says in Matthew 18 and 19, they're going to have to go down there with faith and then have somebody to pray the prayer of faith over them to get it, because you see, to whomsoever much is given of him shall much be required. The more you know, the more you're going to have to walk out, right? The more you walk on with God, the more he expects you not to be like a child who keeps falling and getting up. But we need to get up, stay standing, and then go ahead and walk out our faith. And that's why I believe a lot of people aren't getting their healing. The people of God are not being taught what faith really is. They're not being taught that you can trust God. If you think that God's a maybe God, that maybe he will or maybe he won't, and you never know whether he will or whether he won't, then you'll never exercise faith. You've got to be convinced it's God's will to heal you before you can get healed. Because the only way you can exercise faith is to believe you have received. It works consistently, day in and day out. And there's one thing that can get in the way of having faith and receiving, and that's willful rebellion. Hebrews 10:26 says, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment." So a person who walks in willful rebellion, they're not under the blood. They're actually walking where they're going to get a chastening, and there ain't nothing you can do for that person until they repent, right? And in fact, the Bible says don't pray for them for life in 1 John 5 and 16. You have to pray for people to repent. And sometimes people have to repent or they're not going to get what they need from God. Praise God. You can always depend on the Word of God. And when you get outside of what you know, that is the foundation. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know. I heard something going on in there. I didn't know if it was me or what. But when you're getting outside of what you know, that's your foundation in the Word. If you get outside something that you know is your foundation in the Word, you got to be led by the Spirit. There was a doctrine years ago about you had to get a rhema word from God before you could do anything, before you could pray. God had to talk you out of heaven and say, "Hey, you're healed," before you could believe that by his stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 24, that's hogwash. Don't never believe that. You don't have to do anything. Every time you believe any scripture verse, it's a rhema to you. Every time. Problem is, are you humble to what that verse says? And if you're humble to what that says, that's a word for you. I believe that God so much wants to teach you the ways of faith so that he may permit you to lay hands on somebody and exercise your faith, and God will heal them. They might not keep it because they're not walking under the blood, but he may let you do it for many reasons. I believe that's what happened to me many times on the streets. People got healed when we went out. I didn't have to have a rhema word from God. I saw somebody in need, asked him if they were born again. If they said, yeah, I said, well, we can pray for you and God's going to heal you. And we would, and God would. I don't know if they kept it after that. Wasn't my business. All I had to do was teach them, say, look, you have to fill that up. If they had a demon, we cast that demon out and give them relief, man. You could just see them. I've seen many of them just sit out there on the streets and they just shine like a new dime. You know, they'd been so free. They'd been under so much bondage before. And then when they got out from under all of that bondage, God just shined through them. You can keep this if you'll get in the Word and you stay in the Word and you stay with God. It's when people don't stay with God and they go on about their business that devil comes back. He just goes out there and does a wheelie and comes right back in and claims that empty room. So you got to fill it up with the Holy Spirit, you know. The Bible says the devil comes immediately to steal that seed which has been sown in their hearts. That devil, he'll come right back and he'll try to steal your healing. And he'll try to convince you by feelings, by symptoms, all of those things. That devil is a minister of symptoms. He manipulates the physical realm, doesn't he? And that's why God wants you to walk by faith, because the devil can't manipulate what the Word of God says other than to deceive you. But he can manipulate the physical realm. He tries to get you to walk by sight and not by faith. He can make you feel things, but that feeling can go away immediately when you stand firm on the Word of God and rebuke that devil. And that's the reason we have to have our spiritual senses exercised to know what's right and wrong. We got to have spiritual eyes. We have to have spiritual ears. And we have to hear what the Word says and ignore everything around us. We have to see what the Word says and ignore everything else. Because, you know, Jesus did that. Jesus would have looked like a fool, and he knew it, if he had said some of those things he did and God didn't answer. But you know what? God ain't going to let that happen. God never lets that happen. Now, I'm not saying that you're always going to be in a perfect will of God, but God is so interested in teaching us faith, in teaching us that it's working, in teaching you that you can trust in him. He's going to manifest that healing. Now, you might lose it later, but he's going to manifest it. But it's up to us to keep what God's given us, because that devil's going to come around. He's going to try to steal it from you. When I see something like that, I'm dropping down. I'm praying. And you don't have to just say it out loud. You can. I always do. That's what I always do. You can think it. Lord, do you want me to do something? Will you permit me to do something? We're talking about praying for somebody else now. Maybe you don't know if this person is a Christian that you're going to pray for. Maybe you don't know if they have a right to God's blessing. Maybe you don't know that they have a right to the covenant. Pray. Ask God. God can show you what you don't see and what you don't know. The principles of God are to lead us to know in this conscious realm. Because the Lord sees what we don't see, and he can lead us to do something that we would think would be contrary. I can't tell you the times that God led me to somebody that was not saved, and he healed, and they came to Jesus. That's why I love to pray for these baby Christians. And I'll tell you something, man, poor people. The Christians in this country are so worldly, so running after the world. They're so uninterested in growing in the things of God. I'm telling you, it's hard to pray for them because they're so double-minded. Many times, I've had Christians walk away from me when I asked them if they would let me pray for them. They were so proud and arrogant and limping or struggling or whatever. But boy, I tell you what, a Christian poor folk, they'll listen. And they always have. I hated to go into the middle class and upper middle class neighborhoods to pray for folks. Sometimes God would send me just to show me how arrogant people are. And I said, Lord, send me back down to the homeless. Those people are hungry. Amen. You know, we'll get out of a lot just by not accepting the curse. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on the life eternal. That's continual warfare. If you don't fight, you don't win. In fact, if you don't fight, you lose, right? We're here to bear the fruit. We're here to bear the fruit of Jesus. We're here to walk the walk of Jesus. We're to walk right in his footsteps. 4:17 says, as he is, even so are we in this world. We're here to do the work of God. And let me say, it doesn't stop with the salvation of your spirit, nor the salvation of your soul, nor the salvation of the body. It doesn't stop until it goes through all salvation in every circumstance that you find yourself. Anything around you that has to do with your life that's part of the curse, the scriptures says you were saved from that by Christ. Galatians 3:13, listen what it says. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The Lord became accursed for us. And if you go to Deuteronomy 28, you can read the curse. You can see that most of the curse is circumstances surrounding a person's life. We're saved from all of those circumstances. And when you get into a detrimental circumstance that's part of the curse, and all you have to do is remember that you've been saved from that, you can exercise your faith and you can change that circumstance. Just like we're seeing with Jackie and her brother. You can change it. You know how you change it, don't you? By praying the prayer of faith. And sometimes it might not look like anything that's going on, but you don't know what God's doing behind the scene. Praise God. So that's what we do. We just believe. You know, when Jesus went in to pray for people, he brought certain people into the room with him. And then he put other people out the room according to their faith. He doesn't want to honor anybody's unbelief. He doesn't want people around who are agreeing with you. In a way, you know, that term Christian has become for in it. Believers, they called it the way in the word. It was the pagans who used the term Christian. The thing that identifies God's people is, are you a believer? It's the whole thing that keeps you in the covenant. In fact, you're going to be broken off from the vine if you don't abide in faith, Romans 11:22 says. The Jews were broken off because they fell into unbelief. Paul said, and they also, if they continue not in their unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. You're out or you're in, according to faith. And they ain't got nothing to do with that label that's called a Christian. That's doing God a disservice. What identifies us as God's children is faith and believing. If you lose your faith and start walking in the world, that ain't going to save you. Praise God. You know, I'll tell you what you can do. You can go out there on the street, anywhere, wherever y'all live, and just ask somebody, are you a Christian? I'll bet you 95% of them will say, yep, I'm a Christian. But if you go out there and you ask them if they're a believer, and then ask them what a believer is, then you find out real quick what they are. Salvation in circumstances, Matthew 8:23. And when he was entered into a boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, save. And that's that word sozo. Y'all know what it means. Lord, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And in Luke 8:25, he asked, where is your faith? In other words, he was expecting them to do something. Where is your faith? And that was a rebuke he had. He was telling them, say, how come you don't do something? He'd already given them the authority to do that. Verse 26, he said, then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what manner of men is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And that's obviously a sozo that has to do with circumstances around your life. We've done the same thing here. When I was back in Arkansas, I had many times prayed against tornadoes, and God honored that prayer. Many times. We had tornadoes coming through there all the time. And they'd go mile on one side or a half mile on the other side or quarter mile on the other side, but they never came in my neighborhood. They tore down towns around us, but they never came in my neighborhood because God honored the prayers that I believed when I prayed. Now, having said that, I never thought about making snowstorms and things like that move out of the way. And we've had that happen. We had a big old line from Kentucky border, or from up in Kentucky all the way down to Alabama one time. Angelica, that be you. That's okay. But anyway, that big old line, and it went from Nashville all the way over to Oak Ridge. It was a huge snowstorm coming our way, and it was dumping snow real deep. Now, if you know anything about David and I both, we don't care nothing about no snow on top of a mountain. And so I was telling David about it, and he said, well, let's just pray that thing out of here. I said, well, okay, let's do that. And we did. And I'm telling you, that thing, soon as it hit Highway 75 over there, soon as it hits Highway 75, it started splitting and went around us. It went north of us and it went south of us. And we didn't hardly get any. We got a dusting is all we got. And that's because we believed what we prayed. I knew God was going to do it. When David said, let's pray against it. And you know, and that was 3 years ago. Since then, we have prayed time and time again and seen it happen. This mountain out here, I don't know if you've heard David talk about it before. I think he has. When we first got here, it was knocking out my radios all the time because of lightning. And we come to find out that this mountain that we're on is noted for lightning strikes. As a matter of fact, you can take a walk through the woods on top of the mountain here, and you'll see tree after tree after tree that's been hit by lightning. Most of them died. Some of them are still alive, you know, that lived through it. But you could see that. It's because there's a lot of iron ore in this mountain. And so David and I, we just prayed. After I had two radios messed up, hit by lightning. And what we found out was the last time I had one messed up, I had everything disconnected from it but the ground. And I figured, well, the ground's going to save us. But you know what happened? The lightning was struck up on the hill, came down through the mountain, through the ground, all the way up to our radio, and knocked the radio out. And I said, what is this? And so I got to talking to an old ham. I'm a ham operator, by the way. And he was telling me, this was down south of us here, I was talking to him. He said, I've been doing this for 40-something years. He said, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you, disconnect that ground. I said, what? Reed, they want you to have a good ground for your radio so you like lightning strikes.
Hey, Michael.
And things like
that. Hey, Michael.
Can you hear me?
You're cutting out on a regular basis. It can kind of follow along, but you're cutting out a lot.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on with it. Is it okay now?
Yeah, it's okay now, yeah.
Okay. Well, come to find out that's okay. But come to find out that lightning was coming up through the ground. He said, just disconnect the ground. I said, what? He said, yeah, just disconnect the ground. He said, I do it all the time. I have disconnected all my grounds on all of my tires. He said, I got tires all over this part of the country. He said, I disconnect the ground on them. He said, I haven't been struck by lightning since then. I said, okay, that's what we did. And we hadn't been, we did that, and we also prayed. We prayed the prayer of faith that this mountain not be struck by lightning, not one other time. And that was 3 years ago. We hadn't been struck by lightning up here since then. And it was on a regular basis. I mean, bam, we could hear it crack. It was so close, you know, cracking in that pop. And we knew it was right next to us. But we haven't, it hasn't done that because we prayed the prayer of faith. And it hasn't happened. Things like that, that's what God's looking for. He's looking for people with faith and believes what his word says. Praise God. Get in that boat and start declaring what you, your faith. Then he said, then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Well, that's that sozo, that salvation, that has to do with the circumstances around your life. All the curse in Deuteronomy 28 that doesn't have to do with healing in your nature has to do with the circumstances in your life. Jesus bore that curse. He became accursed for it. You can't be much more accursed than what happened to him on the cross, can you? That was a circumstance. In your circumstances, you have a right to come against the curse because of what Jesus did. We are delivered from the curse. In fact, every sickness and disease is listed in the Bible there in Deuteronomy 28. And then he says in 61, verse 61, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. So every one of them is listed. Every sickness, disease, and circumstance is listed there. Anything detrimental to your life is a part of the curse. But the crucifixion, spiritually speaking, is not detrimental to your life. That ain't part of the curse. That's a part of the blessing. We're here to be crucified. So don't get mixed up. Don't mix up the curse with the crucifixion that we go through in life. Because we're here to turn the other cheek, for instance. Because God put these people to come up against us so that we can overcome. You've got to distinguish between the curse and what God's doing through the wicked to put you to death, because we're here to die. We have to take up our cross and follow Jesus. For instance, when Jesus was going to the cross, he didn't make any attempt at deliverance from it, did he? He turned the other cheek. He wouldn't defend himself because he knew he was there to go to the cross. And Jesus knew that these men that were put there for him to do the will of God and put him on the cross. And in our lives, there are people whom we can't consider a part of the curse. God put them there to put us on our cross. And the Bible says, if any man speaks, let him speak as an oracle of God. 1 Peter 4:11. What they don't say is what Jesus said. Jesus said, if they slap you on the one cheek, turn the other one to him. And he also said, resist not him that is evil. That's what Jesus said. So we have to go to a cross willingly and rejoice because we do. We need to let Jesus take us by the hand. He said, my power is made perfect in weakness, didn't he? So that's what faith is. That's part of being childlike in your faith. Anybody got any questions or would like to comment on what we just talked about? I hope it helps somebody. I like talking about faith because that builds my faith up when I do.
I thought it was awesome, Michael. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I believe that's what the Lord wanted me to talk about tonight, and that's the reason I did it.
Oh, yes, that word really helped me. Thank you, Glory.
Hello, Michael.
God.
This is Reynold. I was just wanting to thank you for sharing that also, because it's just a confirmation that what I heard from the Lord this morning was on the very same thing. And it just, I just really like it when I get a confirmation. It's like, yes, I did hear. And, you know, it just, faith is just so important, because without faith, we'll have no victory, and neither will we have any peace. And I just thank him that, you know, he brings those things to us, and then he speaks it through someone else also. And I just think that just adds to it. And I know this morning he was just speaking to me to speak what your inheritance is. Speak it and believe it and keep it in the forefront of your mind. And, you know, and if we abide in him and we are obedient in what he is showing us, we will be victorious. And I think especially in these days, you know, he is just bringing trial after trial to almost everyone that you talk to. And you know, I believe he's doing that because he wants us to exercise our faith and to trust him, to put our confidence in him. And he shows his faithfulness to us, and I don't know, it just awesome. And I thank you for what you've shared tonight, and it helped me and just reassured me that what I have been hearing is what he's speaking to his people. Thank you.
Amen. You're talking about the trials that coming up. I don't right. remember if Vanessa. I don't remember if Vanessa shared that or not. Do you remember if she shared the fiery trials in August with us on the conference call?
Well, I do remember hearing it sometime. Maybe she did, or maybe someone else did. I'm not sure. But, you know, it's just that it's through those trials that we exercise those things that he gave us. We exercise our faith. And it's just like our muscles. You know, we have to exercise and get our muscles in shape, and we can't just sit around and do nothing. And exercising our faith is just awesome. And I guess I especially have been thinking about it because many, many years, I had so much trouble with my legs and my feet bothering and just hurting. And now we're at the time where our garden is really producing. And so I'm canning and freezing and doing whatever so that we can use it all the rest of the year. And I haven't had that terrible pain in my legs and my feet, like I just can't stand to stand up. And I just praise the Lord that he took that all away. And it's awesome. And I just thank him for it. Every day I get up and it's like, oh, I don't have that anymore. And, you know, and I think perhaps before I had doubt and unbelief. And, you know, he really showed me, you need to cast that out. You need to believe that it was already done. And when I finally got that in my little pea brain, then it happened. And I thank him for it. It's an awesome blessing. And I know he's doing the same thing for his people wherever they are. And like I say, I just thank him and praise him.
Yep. Well, there's a lot of people here I know that are going through those fiery trials. And it's time to overcome. That's what God's telling us. It's time to overcome these trials and to start believing God. Because what you're going through now ain't nothing what's fixing to come on the horizon here, what's on the horizon here. And that's why God is putting us. Yeah, go ahead.
He just wants us to get that through our head. It's already been accomplished. We have to believe it and not fall into doubt and unbelief and get all confused, but just, you know, to stand on his word and his promises and then rest. And sometimes that's a hard thing to do because we were taught to fix it ourselves, and he doesn't want us to fix it ourselves. He already did it, so why should we fix it ourselves? So anyway, that's all I wanted to share. I've been kind of excited about all this, so just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Okay, God doesn't get the glory when we do it. He wants all the glory. I think somebody else had something they wanted to say. Was that you, David? Okay. Anybody got anything else they'd like to share? Listen, we are coming up on this. It looks like to me, I mean, God has given us word after word. Y'all saw the words we got the other night. I hooked them up and I put them all in on the paper and looked at them. Man, it is awesome what God told us the other night. And I think David's going to probably share some of that Sunday with the words that like Claudia got, and well, everybody got that gave a word. It was all applicable to the question that we asked, and it was awesome. Praise God. Maybe we ought to do that more often. I think so. And see what God's trying to, what God's telling us, not what he's trying to tell us, because if you'll put those, to write those scriptures down, and then after we get through, go through them and look at them and meditate on them, God will show you something. He'll show you what he wants you to know from the conference call and what's going on with the conference call people. And he'll tell you, hey, look, I'm fixing to do something here. I need y'all to pay attention. And it's just awesome, I'm telling you. He does that with us in the morning prayers, and I'm just amazed at the words that people get that are lining up with what God's showing us. We're seeing prophets, listen to this, we're seeing prophets come on and tell their prophecies that God gave them, and we've got the same thing with the words that God has given us. We're seeing the same prophecies, just a confirmation of what they gave out, that the Lord gave them in one full swoop, that he gave us in the word. Isn't that awesome? Prophecy is just God showing you stuff. And that, boy, I tell you, it's awesome. So if anybody, you know, thinks of something they'd like to find out that's going to happen, or something that, you know, that would encourage the body, you know, bring it up. We'll all get a word on it. Praise God. And one thing, I think I mentioned this Tuesday night, one thing I would be praying about, that I have prayed about, is that God would hide you whenever martial law comes into effect, that he'd hide you from the world, from the beast. He'll do it. Not only that, to get your name and your family's name out of the government's records. He's doing that. Okay, anybody got anything they'd like to share here or comment on? What about it, Malcolm?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that it?
I do. Hold on. I'm switching phones here. I do have something.
Okay.
On my, it's not a big deal necessarily, but I've been listening to or reading John Bunyan's. We've been going over Pilgrim's Progress 1 and 2. First part is Christian hidden to the celestial city, and then the second one is his wife, Christiana. And so I decided, since I have also his autobiography on the computer, I decided to go ahead and read that. So I've almost come to the end. The first part of his autobiography talks about basically a struggle about regarding himself and God and his struggle with faith in the Lord and a number of things there. But then the second part, he's talking about his call to the ministry and what happened there. And then about 5 years later, he was put in prison for, I think, about 12 years. I'm not sure. But what I'm reading that he's writing, he said he'd been in there for 12 years while he was writing it. So there may have been more time after that. So I'm really impressed with his relating these things. Of course, his humility. I mean, he really gets into the nitty-gritty of his feelings, issues of how he dealt with the temptation for pride when he became successful in ministry, which was almost immediately, and his name became very well recognized very, very quickly, and then it came to the issue of whether he's baptizing people or not and that kind of thing. Just very interesting. But I don't know, I'm really taken with his walk with the Lord. There's just the simplicity of it, and it's what's interesting, when after you've already been through Pilgrim's Progress, you start recognizing the similarity with his personal experience with what's in those parables there. Just a blessing. Just a real McCoy, you know. So anyway, back to you.
Okay. Boy, it's been a long time since I read that. Years and years ago I read that. That's a good book. Anybody else?
Could I just add something?
Sure.
One thing he mentioned was that while he was in prison, different things that came upon him there, he doesn't get into too much detail, but he said what he discovered was that the more difficult the trial, the more the comfort from the Lord he received. So he said if it were possible or if it were right, he would pray for more trouble so he could get more comfort. Very interesting. Well, a lot of interesting personality stuff comes out, and I like that because it shows the realness. It's like the Bible. A lot of the Bible is just so in-your-face real, just describing stuff, describing details, and a lot of it is not flattering at all about the subject. Even if they're a really strong witness for the Lord, it's pretty graphic about some of the problems there. Anyway, it's a lot of depth there in his story.
Amen. It sure is. Amen. Yep, I read it a while back. I also like to read The Shepherd of Hermits. I've read that two or three times, and it's always blessed me as well.
Now that was, when did the author write that? Was that back around 200 or 300 BC? I mean, AD, I mean, after the death of Christ?
Yeah, it was after the death of Christ.
Right, but I mean...
Well, it wasn't 200 or 300 years. It was... right after Hermas, it was Hermas who wrote it, and he's mentioned in the Bible, in the New Testament. I forget which scripture it is.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah, yeah. It's one of Paul's. Yeah, of course.
he had a real deep spiritual way in his writing to bring the spiritual aspects of things out, and you got to read it real close. I mean, it's a real good the parable of the tower. You know, when he's picking up the stones, and the Lord is telling him what each stone, the size and shape of each stone, and what it it's just awesome. I got it up on my shelf, and I get it down, and I'll read it every now and then. Anybody else got something they'd like to share?
This is Angelica.
Yeah, go ahead, Angelica.
I just got, this is a wonderful teaching, but I just got John 20:29. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And that's just, you know, we're really blessed. I think sometimes, I know it's been my experience that I believe the Lord, the way he's showing me is that, you know, is really just to walk by faith and not by sight, and not to count on, you know, on the five senses, you know, because the five senses can really defile the spirit man, you know, because it's contrary to the word. And so it really is a blessing, but it's very difficult to do that. So I just wanted to say, you know, if anybody's having that same struggle, you're blessed. The Lord says you're blessed.
Amen. That's right. We are all blessed. I had a word today also in Zechariah chapter 8. And my finger was on 3. But I'm going to read 1 through 4. Yeah, 1 through 4. Zechariah chapter 8, 1 through 4. And the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I am jealous for her with great wrath. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord's hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, every man with his staff in his hand for very age. Praise God, that city of Jerusalem he's talking about there is Mount Zion. It's on top of the mountain, the Mount Zion. That Jerusalem is the city of God. Praise the Lord. That Jerusalem's the bride, isn't it? That's something you all need to be believing for, believing to be in the bride. If we're correct in what God's shown us, I think David, somebody had a dream. I forget who it was. It might have been Bill. Yeah, I think it was the dream that Bill had, that September the 22nd may be the cutoff day for the bride. And then after that, all, you know, everything starts happening. So that's something to be believing for. Doesn't make any difference where you are in the walk. If you're going after the Lord with all your heart, you know, you're counted as righteous and you'll be in the bride. It's those that aren't putting their whole heart into it and understanding that the time's here. It's time to give up the world. It's time to give up the flesh. Ain't nothing more important right now than God. I think David said, it was either yesterday or Sunday. He said, somebody asked him, he said, well, what happens if it doesn't happen? He said, well, you're that much closer to God. Don't worry about it. And that's it. That's true. You're doing what God wants you to do. Praise God. All right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to share? A word. A dream. Anything.
Yeah, Michael, I just give you the verses I got this morning. They were in John 6, 51 and 52. It was 50 and 51. This is the bread which cometh down out of heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Yea, and the bread which I will give is my flesh for the life of the world.
The gospel in 2 verses. Praise God. That's good. Okay, anybody else?
Hello, this is Gainolden. My finger ended up on a cross-reference, and it was Isaiah 37, and it said verses 1 through 38. So obviously, I won't read all those verses, but
okay.
But it was on Isaiah's encouragement and Sennacherib's message, Hezekiah's prayer, and the Lord's answer, and all that. That's what was in that chapter. So, I mean, there's a lot in Isaiah 37. But
yep,
anyway, that was what I got.
Okay.
I did kind of want to share what I got yesterday because I thought I really liked the verse.
Okay.
It was from Romans 11, and my finger was on verse 12. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And I just think that's so fitting for this time. The time that we're in.
Amen.
So,
sure is.
That was the verse.
That Isaiah 37 is a dry bones one too, isn't it?
Right. it sure is. But my finger was on 1 through 38, and it's like, oh no, I won't read all those. That's where my that was it. But it
all
is
right.
Both of them. I thought were really timely. So
amen.
Anyway, that's what I got.
Okay, praise God. Anybody else?
I have something. So I just got a word from the Father on, you know, just about my faith and things. And I landed in Isaiah 66, and I landed on peace on the verse of 12. So I'll read the whole thing. It said, "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck ye, shall be borne upon her sides and be dandled upon her knees." And that just really gave me some encouraging, and everything that you all prayed for, I believe that I've already received it. And
amen.
I know that the Lord always with me. And I am in just, you know, you as well, Michael, talking about the faith. I have to walk by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
Because the devil, he'll try to lead you astray. But no, I'm saved. And I always am. Mm-hmm. I will be. That's a promise. Thank you,
Father.
That's
it, girl. That's right. You just keep that up and you'll be fine. Praise God. That is an awesome, awesome word for you. I have peace like a river. I have peace like a river. I have peace like a river in my soul. Just my little rendition there. All right. Anybody else?
You're good.
How you like it? You think I ought to be on the Grand Ole Opry?
Sure.
You're not going to go that far, are you, Malcolm?
Well, I don't have any contacts there.
Well, you should, as well as you play the piano. That's something we're going to have to do one of these nights, is just have a singing. We had that one time here years ago. Malcolm playing the piano and all of us singing.
You're right. You're playing in the key. You were singing in the key of C.
Okay.
Slightly out of tune.
Slightly, man. I was probably 4 or 5 and a half octaves off.
No. I'm saying the piano. My piano is like a few cents low, as in probably 30, 40 cents low.
Oh, okay. Whatever that means.
Well, if it doesn't make sense, no. No, sense is just, I don't know how many, between each half step, how many cents there are. There's like, maybe it's 100 cents, or I don't know. Between one note and the next note, there's so many cents there. It's a division, it's like clock, you know, between an hour, there's so many minutes type thing.
Yeah. Okay. I believe you. Oh, go ahead.
I'm standing up, though. I don't have my foot on the...
In my soul.
I can't play very well without the pedal. I'm standing up here, so...
Sounds good to me. That sounded good. That's awesome. Did you hear that, Tiambi?
Yes, I heard it.
He's playing Peace Like a River. Praise God.
He used to sing that on the island of Java in Indonesia. And that was a great song. Yeah, that was one of our favorites.
Yeah, it's one of mine, too.
We had 46.
I tell you. That Revelation song is a good song, too. I like that Revelation song. That and Philip really does well with that song by Robin Marks, Revival. That's awesome. That's an awesome song. Okay, anybody else got anything they'd like to share?
I'd like to share something real quick, Michael.
Hey, Shalonda. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm extremely late. But it's funny how you guys are talking about the faith thing, because today I was reading Mark about Jesus commanding the water to be, or the storm to stop and all that stuff. So it's funny you mentioned that. And also, I was talking to Abba today about having more faith because it feels like I don't have enough. And it's funny how I ended up on the part, I came in on the part where you were talking about faith. So I was like, oh, that's so cool. So, yeah.
Amen. God knows when to stir us up, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now, I'm going to have to ask, Shalonda, are you and Tiambi friends?
Yes.
No?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Okay. Both of you being from the same place, I just kind of figured that. Okay. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share before we close out of here?
I got a question, Michael.
Okay.
Does, this is concerning women and bringing correction to other women concerning doctrine. Does God allow that?
Well, I'm not sure the what kind of circumstance. You mean one-on-one or?
I'm not positive of that. I think there are some other people around. I'm not sure about that.
Well, that's kind of a fine line, so I don't know. But that's a good question. Let me ask David and find out. Get back to you. I know women ministering to other women, younger women, is allowed. But as far as doctrine goes, that's a fine line there. I can find out for you, and we'll get back to you on it.
Okay. Yeah, I had that come up, and I wasn't sure. To me, that's teaching, but I could be wrong.
Okay. If they're just if it's a one-on-one situation where they're talking about something and they're learning, you know, and somebody has something and you say, well, here's what the word says, you know, maybe we ought to go by that. I can't see anything wrong with it, but if it's a women and men in the same thing, you know, I don't know. That's a fine line. Was it all women?
As far as I know, there weren't men, but I'm not positive of that either.
Yeah.
I think it was all women.
Yeah, the doctrine thing is the biggie. Ask him, and I'll find out, and I'll let you know Tuesday night.
Okay.
Or I'll just send you,
Yeah, that works too.
Well, okay, anybody else? Well, Lord, we just thank you for a wonderful night tonight. Father, we thank you for directing this night. And Father, we just thank you for all the wonderful words and all the testimonies. And Lord, we thank you for answering our prayers. And Father, we just give you the glory for everything that was accomplished tonight. Lord, I thank you that you have placed in each one of us a measure of faith. And you said, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, which is real small, that we could move mountains. And Father, I just believe that. And I know everybody here does too, Lord. And I thank you for that promise that you've given us in your word. And Lord, I ask that you be with us the rest of the week. Give us a good night's sleep tonight and put your hedge of protection around each one of us, Father. Teach us all how to love like you did, Lord. Unquestionably, and to love even our enemies like you did, Lord. Teach us that, Father. And I thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord, for all you're doing with each one of us. Thank you, Lord. Well, good night, saints, and we'll see y'all next week. God bless you.